We head to Washington for the latest in national politics. The Confederate flag has become the subject of heavy political debate, with an increasing number of Republican politicians saying it's time to take the flag down. Also yesterday, the Senate moved President Obama's trade agenda forward, advancing fast-track authority for a trans-Pacific trade agreement. The move keeps the bill alive after it stalled 2 weeks ago. Also, we're going to hear about the latest polling on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Here with us now is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
So the biggest public debate after the Charleston shooting last week hasn't been about guns. It's been about the Confederate flag. How did the flag become the center of this national conversation?
Well, the flag became a center of this conversation because the lunatic, or, you know, you can call him a terrorist, people have been calling him different names, he has dressed himself in the Confederate flag. There are numerous pictures with him and the Confederate flag. And the Confederate flag in South Carolina has had a long history going well back to the 1960s and then obviously before that to the Civil War. And basically, African Americans in that state for a long time have wanted the Confederate flag not to fly on public property. And 15 years ago, there was this debate, and we've had it now again. And basically, the South Carolina legislators, the governor, and specifically Nikki Haley, has led this charge to say, we are not going to have this flag. It belongs in a museum. You can fly it on private land, but it's not going to be flown on public property, not while I'm governor. And we are seeing a whole lot of Republicans who previously have been silent on the issue, including the presidential candidates, basically getting behind Haley, because that is where the wind is. Look, nine people are dead. They want to make a statement somehow, some way, saying that this is not okay, and African Americans are a part of the Democratic base, and Republicans want to eat into that Democratic base in the 2016 election. And more than that, what we know is that Republicans do not want to be seen as this all-white party. This is sort of one of those gateway issues that sort of, if they were saying, no, we're okay with the Confederate flag, then, you know, you can make the jump fairly easily to then saying, well, are you okay then, you know, with racism? People who defend the flag will obviously say that it's about, you know, Southern pride. But at this point, after so many people are dead, the momentum is on the side of saying, you know what, maybe it's time that we take this flag down.
Right. So Governor Nikki Haley has been at the leading edge of this, and Republicans have been rallying behind her. This has been, as you said, a sticky point for Republicans in the past. So how big a deal was this move for a Republican governor to get out in front of it and take a stand and have everyone else fall into line behind her on this?
I don't think that there is a single political analyst really out there who doesn't recognize at least the political genius of what Haley is doing. You know, regardless of how you feel about the merits of whether the Confederate flag should be flown on public property or not, it's very clear where the wind was blowing, and Haley came out very, very strongly. And it, you know, it certainly saved a lot of the Republican candidates who always talk about quote-unquote state rights. You know, before Haley came out, you know, Jeb Bush, who was one of the more forceful people on the Confederate flag, saying that it should be removed. He did remove it from public property in Florida, sort of didn't say that, you know, she should take it down right now. South Carolina shouldn't run, you know, shouldn't have it on public property. He's more saying, look, I hope that they come to the right decision, and I trust the state officials will. And so Haley came to what I think Jeb Bush would call the right decision, and that has allowed the Republican candidate to say, good for Nikki Haley, we stand behind her. And it sort of takes this sticky point issue out whereby, you know, Hillary Clinton can come out very strongly against the Confederate flag, and the Republicans who might not want to alienate more conservative voters or might not want to be seen as impending upon state rights.
Is that going to hurt any of the Republican candidates who kind of dragged their feet, either wouldn't answer or maybe seem to be supportive of leaving the flag flying before Haley came out? Does it hurt them at all?
You know, I think we're so far from the primary that this type of, you know, the news cycles move so fast these days, right? And so what happens now isn't necessarily going to really matter in 6 months. But what will be interesting to see if there are any Republican candidates out there who, you know, may say, no, this is a, you know, not only a states' rights issue, but the Confederate flag is about Southern pride. I know Mike Huckabee has sort of been towing the line on that. And you have to keep in mind, in South Carolina, at least before we had this shooting, there were a lot of Republican voters, in fact, the vast majority of Republican voters who were believed were okay with the flag flying, or at least not against it. And there are a lot of upstate, you know, in South Carolina, it tends to be more liberal areas around Columbia and towards the coast in Charleston are much more liberal areas than the upstate of South Carolina, which is a lot more conservative. And a lot of the legislators who represent the upstate have stayed silent on this issue because they're hoping that it will simply move on, and a lot of their constituents still support the flag being on public property. And so it'll be very interesting to see if, in fact, there are going to be a few Republican presidential candidates who are trying to gain some votes who say, you know what, it is about Southern pride. That's going to be, I think, the more interesting issue moving forward.
And before we leave this topic behind, Nikki Haley as a vice presidential pick, do you think that could happen now?
I think it could have happened before, but I have learned in my years of doing this that predicting vice presidential candidates is a very dangerous thing to do for an analyst, and you can come out looking very foolish. So I'm not going to make a prediction on that, merely to say that she is part of the conversation.
Talking right now to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We're catching up right now on national politics. Moving on to the 2016 race more broadly, Hillary Clinton seems to be picking up some steam again. For a while, she was maybe sagging a little in the numbers. She had Bernie Sanders nipping at her heels. She had Republican rivals nipping at her heels. What do you think about where she is now? Is she cresting again?
I would say that, you know, most of the polling that had shown her potentially having problems in a Democratic primary, I personally have thought that Clinton was going to go all the way, you know, in terms of at least winning the nomination for a while. And the polling that showed her sort of falling down, especially in the state of New Hampshire, which is obviously the first primary and the second contest of the Iowa caucus. Look, even people who have won the nominations easily, I look to Al Gore, who crushed the field, which was only Bill Bradley in 2001, all 50 state primaries and caucuses. Even he trailed in the New Hampshire polls for a while. I went to school in New Hampshire. I've lived in New Hampshire. New Hampshireites don't like being told what to do. They want to come to their own decision. But eventually they'll probably come around. And even if Clinton lost that primary, if you look at the national polling, you know, there was an NBC poll out this week from NBC News and Wall Street Journal, which had her at 75% of the Democratic primary vote. Last time around in 2008, she at best was reaching 50 and usually was stuck in the mid-30s to high 30s. She's far and ahead, far better than she was 8 years ago. She is the strongest non-incumbent to run for a party's nomination since primaries and caucuses decided candidates in 1972.
A couple of weeks ago, though, we were seeing these stories about Bernie Sanders, people going, hey, look at him, he's picking up steam. Could he be a contender? What do you think about those? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, that came from New Hampshire. I mean, that is exactly where that came from. You know, there was a few polls out from the state of New Hampshire which showed him about 10 points back. I think one was 10 and one was 12. And people said, oh, my God, look at Bernie Sanders. He's surging. But remember, he's from next door in Vermont. New Hampshire is a state that is very, very white. Bernie Sanders does not poll well among African Americans. And once the contest moved to states that are more diverse than either Iowa or New Hampshire, Hillary Clinton will pick up an advantage as she appeals to minority voters a lot better, and also her big money edge will be able to pound Sanders on the airwaves. If I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm not exactly worried about a 75-year-old socialist from Vermont.
Okay, what about Donald Trump? Is she going to be worried about him and other Republicans, for that matter? He seems to be surging in New Hampshire at number two. What do you make of that?
I can just say, are you not entertained? If you are not entertained by the idea of Donald Trump running in second place in a presidential primary, then you are just never going to be entertained by politics in your life. Donald Trump has no chance of winning the Republican nomination. We don't always look at the horse race numbers, you know, who's ahead and who's behind. We also look at how voters view each of the individual candidates, you know, whether they view them favorably or unfavorably. And we have something called a net favorability rating, which is essentially the favorable number minus the unfavorable number. And Donald Trump has the worst net favorable rating of any candidate to run for a party nomination within his own party ever. I think it was 106 candidates I looked up, and it was the worst ever. A majority of Republicans nationally view him unfavorably. When that's the case, you just can't win a party nomination. He'll be entertaining. I'll love it if he gets into the debates. We'll all have a good laugh, but nothing beyond that.
All right, well, I have a feeling we'll talk about him again. And in the meantime, we're going to end with fast-track legislation for the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement yesterday, looking to get a green light. What do you make of that? Does that bode well for the passage of the whole thing?
I believe it does. Yeah, it definitely bodes well. Look, this has been a very interesting, contentious point between Obama, who wanted, you know, fast track and wants these free trade agreements, and House Democrats who didn't. But Obama figured out that you could pass the fast track for the trade with enough Republican votes. And then what you'll do afterwards is you'll get this assistance, sort of this trade assistance for people who are displaced or hurt by free trade. And he has made it part of a package with the Republicans where they'll first pass the free trade, the fast track for the free trade, and then he has an agreement with the Democrats who realize that they're behind the eight ball in this situation, that they just can't win, that they'll eventually pass the assistance for those who are displaced or hurt by free trade. It's going to pass almost certainly unless something unforeseen happens, but you know what, it is politics, so nothing's guaranteed.
Harry, thanks a lot for talking today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the latest in national politics. Mm-hmm.